emerged with global equivalent network now. Third is Sarvodaya movement in Sri Lanka. That is also in a major way there. Mainly concentrating on environmental issues and based on some Gandhian philosophies. And there is a class of people in United Nations Development Program as well as outside trying to work on self-sustainable living, because they thought of statistics, they show it's highly unsustainable living at present. Others, scattered revolutionists, were also in. So we just briefly saw what exactly is a non-profit organization, Global Equality Network. So they have a community based on some principles. So, for example, if we have 1 acre tomorrow and one family is living there, we just have to start our own food production, and we build some ecological buildings, and one or two things we do, we can stamp it as eco-village and get it connected to Global Eco-Village Network. So that way they have. So they have some definitions, what is an eco-village. This is a footprint. They say a footprint is a tool to measure consumption of resources and creation of waste. So it's a measure of how much burden to the ecology we are, the ecological footprint. They are based also on some values. They say it is at present the level, the way we are living is unsustainable. We need to move to a better sustainable system. Also they have some criteria, something has to be called as eco-village, they have some criteria. And second point was on Gaia Foundation. So this is also an ecological hypothesis, mainly based on environment and other issues. But now more or less they are merged with eco-village system. Then third was Sarvodaya movement in Sri Lanka, based on Buddhist sect. They have thousands of adopted eco-villages in Sri Lanka. There's a website also of them propagating their success. Then there are few people who are very, they have done a lot of research in this area. One is Ted Rainer and Takis Fotopoulos, like this, two people. There are more. These two people have done a lot of research, especially Ted Rainer's articles have been downloaded in last book. He says very seriously that this is not the way we are living, this is not the future. There's a lot of statistics. He says 6% of world income goes to richest 20%, while 20% is the only 1.3% of it. Economically, he's telling totally unviable situation. Then he goes on to say there are two fundamental mistakes in the present community. One is the market-based economy and the growth-based. So market force is driving everything. And there is a phantasmagoria of growth. So he goes on to define growth also. What exactly is growth? What is development also? With quoting with World Bank statement. So he says there's no exaggeration in saying market forces are responsible for all deprivation, human suffering, ecological destruction and than any other single factor. Market force is a major factor. Then he also quotes Gandhi, who said rich must live simply so that poor may simply live. So he says one is commitment to market principle is a major wrong thing where what is happening at present. Second is associated notions to that. That is competition, individualism, maximizing freedom for corporations, etc. Even bigger mistake is to do with take up for granted commitment to observe and growth. Means we are taking it for granted for all the employees and growth happening. It comes to conclusion that if a sustainable society has to come, it must be defined in terms that extend well beyond taking social control over the market. But the community has to take social control over the market. It must focus on notions of simplicity, cooperation, self-sufficiency in a long period of negative economic growth, culminating in steady state economy. Some sort of thinking they are very good thought leaders, basically. Then, this is a very interesting point. The present situation assumes that when the waste and inefficiency of the capitalist system, that for example, if a factory throttles because of lack of resources and so many other processes, the present society economy believes that no, we can still revive it after some solution, and one day we can all have Mercedes. This is how they. So he's very critical about these points. With lot of statistics, of course, he quotes. He says, however, the limits of growth analysis makes it clear that a satisfactory and sustainable community or society cannot be affluent, industrialized, or consumerized. So some criteria, he says, if a self-sustainable community has come, these are the criteria. First is, it should be much simpler, non-affluent living standards. Second is small, highly self-sufficient local economies, that is like local governance concept. Mostly using local resources to produce, to meet local needs, with a little trade between regions, let alone between nations. Third is, instead, it should be highly participatory and cooperative systems. Fourth is alternative technologies which minimize resource and environmental impacts. Alternative technologies. Last point is, it should be a totally different economy, not based on money. One which is not driven by profit or market forces, in which there is no growth, and in which much economic activity does not involve money. Because paper money should not be there. And he is critical about the global eco-village network also. He says, this we had not started. Very critical about global ecological network because of one point. He says it includes a wide diversity of initiatives, many of which are not consciously intending to pioneer a new world order. He says a new world order has to establish, but global ecovillage network is far away from that. Why? He says many ecovillages simply involve people in trying to build better circumstances for themselves, often within the rich world, in quite self-indulgent ways. Very interesting. So they are just trying to build better circumstances for themselves, actually. So that is a flaw, and also it is quite in self-indulgent ways by their own speculation. And he goes on to say that the eco-village network is a theory less a political movement. Unfortunately, many eco-villages seem to be far from satisfactory in the degree of adherence to some of the core principles listed above. That is, he said some 5-6 principles should be there in the community, etc. Those within the movement for whom contributing to a new society is a high priority need to become more clear and assertive about its mission and more theoretically and politically sophisticated. Whereas at present they are not, so that's what he criticizes.
Excuse me. He's being critical about some aspects of the eco-village. Yeah. What does he promote?
He says.
Does he have a like
solution?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's coming later. Right? Okay. Keep us in suspense.
So now he says the basic argument in my. He has written a big article. What is to be done now? The basic argument in my what is to be done now is that our top priority should be to contribute to the building of impressive examples of automated recovery.
Impressive
examples of alternative recovery. Then he says, this is essentially an anarchist strategy, means against the government, means not with the help of government, anarchist strategy.
Yeah, they won't support it.
I have not included one issue. He says, how do we do it safer way? Because governments are driven by market forces. They're going to crush. And he says, how to escape, how to go do away with that crushing mentality.
Mm.
He says, it involves firstly a grassroots approach whereby ordinary people will be the builders of the new ways, not authorities, officials, experts or state. The ordinary people should be do this. Secondly, it is centrally involves the anarchist principle of prefiguring, that is building the new within the old. He's come out with some concept. it also involves the crucial assumption that it is not necessary or desirable, at least at this point in time, to confront the old system and get rid of it before we can start building it. It is dangerous at present if we confront right away.
Mm.
So, he's telling some strategy like pre-figuring. How we move from here to there means to unsustainable to sustainable. His answer is by beginning here and now with tiny community development for cooperatives, made up of those very few people with the necessary vision, who then take the first minute steps towards a local cooperative non-market economy. Still vague on it. That was the trainer's conclusion. Other.
Can you repeat that conclusion?
Yeah. It says
build small units.
Yeah. By beginning here and now, tiny community development cooperatives should start. It doesn't think about starting a village altogether, right? From beginning.
How does he frame that community?
Development cooperatives.
What does he mean by that?
For example, maybe like based on some vision, they come together to
That could be in the city also? That could be in the city also?
Yes, he says it could be in the city also. That's why he says, right, we cannot confront right away.
So it seems like he's
slowly we should start
advocating or encouraging people to just come together and
to take up to like we stop using clogs or market now. Then some kind of
non-cooperation.
Then he made up of those very few people with the necessary vision who then take the first minute steps towards local cooperative non-market. I mean, this could be community development cooperatives could be the first step. Then those few people who are doing that can take up ahead of coming up with a local cooperative non-market economy communities.
It's on a very theoretical way they'll, you know, come up with so many like unlimited schemes actually, because they're like going around in circles. And like you say, I mean, the basic premise or the basic, you know, understanding is like not proper, not right. We come out directly. We means in our Vedic understanding or Vaishnava understanding, we come out directly and say that actually, I mean, simplified lifestyle or simplified society will come only when we understand and agree to work on the principles of cow protection and land production. And that our whole, the Prabhupada says right out, you know, all of our economic problems are solved when we do these two things: produce our own foods, local economy, with the cow as the basis, cow economy, self-sufficiency, local governance. Like so it's like, you know, it's like we could say applied theory. I mean, it goes right in, specifies. Otherwise, people just speculate and go around, you know, just go around without, because they don't actually have that basic, like you were mentioning the other day, you know, nobody speaks about cows. There, you know, there's no concept, no understanding. And we know that, you know, although we regard the cow as sacred, but we also understand the other dimensions, how practical it is to have cows, how the cow, you know, even materially speaking, I mean, both the cows and bulls, when I say cows, I mean cows and bulls, right? They are important for not only like the spiritual dimension, but I mean the day-to-day practical. You know, people who are people in villages, they totally depend on their cows. If they don't have cows, it's like they die, because their cows are helpful in so many different ways. I mean, even a cow is useful if she doesn't give milk, isn't it? By her other produce or like that. So it seems like it's going to take a while before they get to that dimension, you know what I mean, to that understanding. And for us, because we're devotees, we have, you know, some of this basic knowledge. Cows are like, we cannot do without. They have already more or less done without, or trying to do without, actually. They're not done without, I mean, they're not succeeding. So we just need to, you know, make sure that that aspect of our presentation regarding cows and lamb is backed up, I mean, in different ways, so that people who are not particularly religiously inclined can still be convinced, you know, by various logics and statistics. Just like production, this is an important quote or important information. We should get the source of that. Maybe Madhava Prabhu might have mentioned, one or two years back, he had written to me mentioning how before the British came in India, the production of rice, paddy production, rice production in India was 10 times more than the global production today. You know, using just cows, bullocks. So many things of that nature, when we bring them together, compile them, then it adds a lot of strength to what we're, you know, trying to get across. But maybe we can just carry on, and you can, otherwise we'll find ourselves at the end of our session having to have another one to, so maybe you can, I have a few things as we go along, maybe if we have any questions, maybe we can keep them for, we can carry on with the presentation.
The other scattered religiousness, something called a simpler time village.
Simpler time.
Times village.
Times.
Times. Simpler times village.
What does that mean?
Actually, I didn't include here in that. Their mission is, let us build the old system back. This is the mission.
What system?
It should be
back, being it was something there.
Something which was already, you know, older days, how it used to be.
Yeah.
So they go on to narrate a story of how a village was, and how if you wanted something, you would have gone here purchased. Like this, they have an image, and they're trying to exactly construct an older European village. An old European village, and they have done a lot of research on if a bank has to come, then how we can, in self-sustainable, how we can do this. Okay, so they have developed sevas, a lot of sevas in all areas, and they have done detailed study and charter. If this has to come, then how it has to work?
Yeah.
So they have done a lot of research and procedure, and many people have volunteered that they will take up this issue. There is huge debate, huge forum going on in their website.
Oh, I see, okay.
They're posting this.
Okay.
I like cooperation.
See, a lot, the idea seems nice. It is good in the sense that, you know, what was there, especially like traditionally what was working. But what's important is that we need to connect it with, you know, some authoritative, it's like our whole lifestyle as devotees, or the whole lifestyle, for example, within Varnashram is already, you know, given, like in the Shastras, for example, and supported and promoted by very, you know, highly qualified, like our acharyas, for example, who are not just, you know, I mean, they were self-realized and they were, I mean, like big philosophers, and they knew also, like it mentions in this sacred books, right? You all have a copy of this? That's a very important book, by the way. Sacred books, a lot of nice. No? You haven't? Hey, where have you been? Here it mentions how Sahadev, the original Sahadev, he was very expert in, he was actually looking after the 800,000 cows that the Pandavas had. Nanda Maharaj, you know, in Vrindavan, maintained 900,000 cows. The Pandavas maintained 800,000. He was expert in cow protection. Simply by smelling the different urine of cows, he could understand how it could be used for different medicines. There's a whole, I mean, just read a few, you know, read a few of these quotes, and it's like, you know, the tip of the iceberg, you know, you get a little idea of, it must have been like so much of information and knowledge just about cows. Like yesterday, I think in this group we were mentioning about 150 types of ghee. Or maybe like 150 types of breeds, pure breeds, right? So and that's connected with during the Battle of Kurukshetra, they used to, right, at the end of the day, when the sun set, as the sun set, everybody stopped shooting their arrows, and then so many people were wounded and whatnot. So from the evening till the next day, sunrise, they were being treated using all kinds of, you know, I mean, their injuries would be completely healed. We cannot imagine, but I mean, it's described like this, that they were used, there's all kinds of medicines within Ayurveda. Who sent me that article? It talks about, have you read this article about three levels of treatment? One is called Asurik, one is called Manasik, and one is called Daivik. Daivik. The Manasik is Ayurveda using different natural herbs, natural things that you find like in nature. Whereas Daivik treatment is using minerals such as gold, silver. You know, in Ayurveda they use the powder and the mix and whatnot. And whereas Usurik is modern medicine, where they open you up, cut you up, take out half your intestines and whatever, you know. And so in other words, now maybe a few Ayurvedic doctors may know, but before it was like more commonly followed and known, using this Daivi type of treatment. Only, you know, I mean, when you use minerals, you got to know what you're doing, right? You just can't feed somebody or whatever a whole bunch of mix. I mean, it's a whole science, which a lot of it is probably lost. You know? So, So there's all kinds of things like this, which is there actually in our Shastra. And so, you know, their attempt to model, unless it's backed up somewhere, then it's going to, you know, it's not solid. So we have, I mean, something really unique in that it's based, you know, like Varnashram is not somebody's, like, speculation. It's been handed down and it's been, you know, coming down since time immemorial, and it's coming directly from Krishna. You can't have a better, you know, source. So that's why, you know, most people here in India, and of course outside of India, most people don't know anything about Varnashram. And in India, what they know is all wrong. I mean, you know, misconceptions about Varnashram. But that's why there's such an urgent, you know, need for us, first of all, to understand that, you know, in its details and, you know, ins and outs, so to speak, so that we can present it intelligently and scientifically, and, you know, demonstrate it also. Then it'll be something, you know, and of course at the same time we have to create models, you know, some of the things that they're touching on also. So all of this is like, because actually within our ISKCON society right now, there's not so much of, you know, discussion on these things, and there is a very great need to do that. Anyways, I have a few things that I just want to say for the end, but yeah.
Second point was, when I was going through the second book of what we planned was Extended Family Systems and Benefits. There was one, there's one university for family studies or something like this. They say a statement, they make a statement that America till now has made a wrong experiment of having a nuclear system society. Nuclear families.
What do they understand or mean by nuclear family?
Nuclear families, they give two definitions. One is a child is living with father, or child is living with mother. Not both. This is the first thing. Second thing is they say child living with father and mother. This is two definitions of nuclear family.
So somebody is telling that this is the wrong
theory. America did a wrong experiment of having nuclear families.
Actually, the what they call the family nucleus, whichever one, family nucleus, as we generally is very much being threatened in North America right now. It is being threatened, put under question. I mean, basically, what you're saying. You know. So, tell us more about that. What is
it? Downloaded that website.
Okay.
I can read it.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you know, we know, for example, from our Shastra, how family is sacred. You know, the family concept, what we call family nucleus. For us, it, like, family means mother, father, and children, right? It doesn't mean father and children or mother and children. This is an American concept because of divorce. You know, in the Vedic culture, divorce is not there. I mean, maybe, but very rare. So this is like a new dimension of so-called nucleus family. I mean, it's the first time I hear it in that terminology. Nucleus, the family nucleus, as we generally refer to, being that of mother, father, like, and children. Because now, because of the whole mentality of, like, pluralism, the whole concept of pluralism, where many ideologies, you know, can be coexisting, and where, you know, individualism, you can do your own. So, you know, it's like they are, it's so demoniac, you cannot imagine, unless you go and live in America for some time, you cannot understand how crazy it is, you know, because now they're openly promoting, you know, that man and man marry, women and women marry, and they do different things to have children or to adopt. I mean, it's like wild, insane. But people there, they think if you don't agree with them, you're insane. You know, they point the finger back. You know, because so many of them are are believing them. This is like what comes out when people are just like animals, you know, without any morals, without any like that, you know. It's totally, I mean, you would be shocked. I don't have the statistics. It might be interesting to track them down. You would be shocked the number of homosexuals and how people are promoting that, you know. I mean, they have won court cases for allowing homosexuality, for allowing consent between adults and even minors, as long as the consent is there. I mean, it's like totally, it's crazy. I mean, I was shocked like maybe 2 years ago in the clergy. In the clergy, a bishop.
Yeah.
And what's the problem? You know, what's your problem? You're okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. How do you go? Crazy. That's what they say in the insane asylum, right? So the whole world become like an insane asylum.
Even Dalai Lama says
himself also.
I'm very unhappy that I didn't have any sexual thing in my body.
He's unhappy?
Unhappy. He's not happy that he didn't have participation.
He's not happy.
Unhappy.
My God, what happened to him? spending too much time in the West, right? That's, you know, yeah, because part of his theory is that, that's part of the modern theory, that you experiment with as many things as possible, and then, you know, your life experience. Yeah. Slowly, no, I mean, as devotees, I mean, you know, we have some basic understandings about basic things and about, you know, the whole concept of right and wrong. But in America, you know, or in so-called advanced countries, developed countries like that, there's no concept of right and wrong. There's no concept of truth, and so it's like
the same thing duplicated in India.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yeah.
It's already there.
Yeah, and even more wild in some ways. Yeah, I was shocked that a few years back, like, somebody was telling me some things that were taking place like in a place like Manipal. I'm sure Bombay, I mean, among students, you know, university students, and all that. You guys probably know. I mean, having been not too long ago in that kind of environment and whatnot, you know, it's like, probably more wild.
Like,
telling
Manipal is almost equal to your English. Like, it's fast forward by 10 years.
Manipal. Yes.
All the NRIs.
I stayed on the campus a few days ago. we were having Rathiatra, right? And so I stayed in one of the student hostels. One of the boys, one of the devotees, because I had to stay one night to go back to Mangalore the next day. And same thing actually when I was in Penang at USM. You hear these, you know, it's like 10, 11 midnight, you know, and you hear there's like large groups of students just like howling, you know.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, you know, I mean, they're just like, it's just wild. And, anyways, back to the presentation.
Probably more websites are there, but this is one what I found. There's a university called Magnus Hirschfeld University. It's a new family model in the topic they're discussing.
Maybe we can skip this. Anyways, maybe just to see what they're thinking, you know. Just quickly, yeah.
Yeah, they say disadvantages of modern nuclear families to have promoted many of its critics to look for alternatives. Some reformers want to return to the traditional extended family as it existed before the Industrial Revolution.
Mm.
However, it is unclear how this family type could be reconstituted under present conditions. Furthermore, as we have seen, it also had some very serious shortcomings. It certainly could not accommodate the demands of privacy and individual freedom and so on and so forth. On the other hand, on the other hand, slightly extended nuclear families can still be created individually without any drastic social reform. Yet hardly anyone is convinced that such sporadic minor improvements would make much difference. The real problem seems to lie deeper. Many people feel that their best potential will never be realized unless there is a radical transformation of the society as a whole. They believe that a new man and a new woman have to be created for a better family system. Better family system can be devised.
Let's go and talk to Lord Brahma.
They go on like this.
Oh my God. These are like supposed to, these are the intellectual people of the day, huh? Right?
PhD work.
Yeah, my.
Then there are other websites we found. I found. Serve God, Save the Planet. Just
Christian based.
Then there's one more person, Richard Gregg. He's been into self sustainable farms for 30 years now. And he has shared all the agriculture library and a lot of library online, everything. Virtual library, whole thing is shared. For others, scattered in.
So a lot of material to refer to, possibly.
Yeah, lot of huge material to refer to.
You can actually fully return to him.
Yeah, I wrote to him.
Oh, okay. Did you get a reply?
Yeah,
I wrote to him whether were you influenced by Hare Krishna movement any time? Because he was so.
Okay.
I thought because he's so much involved in this.
And he wrote back, what's Hare Krishna?
He said, no, I'm not influenced, but however, I'm sympathetic to this movement and drawn inspiration from them.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That's one of the things we need to do actually is try and link up with people who are like that, you know, seemingly in line with or understanding some of the basic concepts and principles. And it's just a matter of probably as we, even by writing an email or something, you know, just hit up upon somebody who is either a devotee or soon to become or ready to become a devotee, yeah. I mean, it would be fantastic to have someone who has, save us a lot of money.
Then this, I just downloaded and yesterday's article on World Bank, some two important statements are there which I highlight. What this World Bank has done is they have giving loans to countries and many major countries are in heavy debt like India and major countries.
You know, the US is also in debt, you know.
From World Bank?
I don't know from World Bank, but the US is in debt and increasing. Yeah, you can search that out maybe later on. They're the model, right? They're in debt. They're in heavy debt also. But I'm not sure because World Bank is basically based from the U.S. Maybe they're trying to, you know, create a system whereby other countries will be in more debt than themselves or something, and they won't feel so bad. Yeah, go ahead.
Now they say they have devised a package for these countries to come out of debt. But package is structural adjustment package. What do they do is, they have imposed this package to illustrate point clearly that you have to pay the debts back. Because they have accumulated large debts, more than 100 countries have now had to accept the structural adjustment package. It says, World Bank in effect says to these countries, you are heavily in debt. We will help you to get out of your affairs in order so that you will be able to pay back your debt. People who are in debt must do two things, they say. One is increase your exports, which means logging more forests, putting more land into export crops, enticing in more foreign mining and manufacturing corporations, and reducing the price you charge for exports, which means driving wages and taxes down, reducing the protection you give to local firms, and you must devalue the currencies to make exports cheaper and more competitive. This is such steps here.
Very simple.
Second thing you must do if you are in debt is, of course, to cut your spending, which means reducing state outlays on health, education, welfare, public infrastructure and services. But not state spending on the infrastructure that will help firms to export.
Only
this is
that
really
contradicts.
Where did you get this from?
No, this is actually Ted Trainer's criticism about World Bank statement.
Right.
Okay, I move on to global school.
Yeah.
Just download from the website.
Yeah.
Mission is to promote, establish universal concepts and principles of Varnashram Dharma of all individuals in society.
Yeah.
Second is to realize the above statement within an agrarian based social structure through culture, family, education, and devotion.
Yeah.
Goals is to establish Varnashram education steering committees locally, regionally, nationally and continentally. Second is to locate and secure suitable land for purpose of establishing Varnashram communities. To demonstrate practically how the principles of Varnashram are universal concepts or universal principles. To systematically conduct seminars and workshops to provide training and education in all Varnas and Ashramas. To compile, publish and distribute literature, pamphlets, books, magazines for the sake of informing and educating people. To recruit members from different communities interested in helping realize the mission statement and goals. To help revive interest in India's ancient teachings of the Vedic epics through Vayan, art, music, dance, theatre, drama, poetry, painting, sculpture, hymns, songs, etc. Supporting objectives to teach concept of lifelong education to society at large based on four universal principles, namely discipline, compassion, cleanliness and truthfulness. To raise funds for each project.
I think there were
any guidance.
Mm-hmm. I think they were more so supporting objectives, no?
Okay.
Four supporting objectives?
I think more of
them. Yeah, there's more. And there's, we want the fan on or the door open?
I think fan must be the door
open. Yeah. Can light? Okay, so. I think there's at least 10, maybe 15 supporting objectives.
And read the supporting one. To recruit members of from different communities interested in helping realize their goals, they mentioned statement and mission goals. Second is to help revive interest in India's ancient teachings through Vedic epics, Mahabharata, Ramayana, through Vayan, art, music, dance, theatre, drama, poetry, painting, sculpture, hymns and songs, etc. To establish schools, colleges, libraries, workshops, ashramas, cultural centres, residential quarters, nature cure clinics, regional centres, small-scale cottage industry, Varnashram villages, etc. which will all help manifest and develop the concept of Varnashram. Raise funds for such projects. Fifth is to teach the concept of long life education to society at large based on four noble universal principles of discipline, compassion, cleanliness and truthfulness. Sixth is to give special respect, attention, protection to cows, spiritual preceptors, women, children, youth, and the aged, recognizing that all forms of life, including animal life, are sacred and cannot be neglected, abused, rejected or destroyed. To promote organic and natural farming based on concepts of sustained agriculture, avoiding modern destructive chemicals which create ecological imbalances in nature. A. To protect the environment and Mother Nature by setting up forest sanctuaries and reserves for birds and animals. 9th is to work closely with other educational, scientific, social, religious and cultural institutions who may have similar goals and objectives. 10th, to demonstrate the principles of simple living and high thinking, the motivation of which will be for self-realization, self-awareness and personal growth. 11th, to help foster in individuals and society at large the need for stronger character, strong character formation, moral values, ethics and religious principles which form the basis of spiritual and social stability. 12th is to promote research in ancient village traditions and ancient cultures of India and other Asian countries as well as local native traditions and cultures found on all continents. To promote interfaith dialogue between members of different religious denominations, showing all the major scriptures of the world such as Bible, Quran, Bhagavad Gita and others are based on essentially the same common universal principle of love of God. To encourage all individuals to take up the practice of spiritual consciousness by regularly chanting the holy names of Lord, for the purification of the self and society at large as recommended in all the revealed scriptures of the world. 15th point, to introduce and help establish Varnashram Dharma and Varnashram colleges within all religious and humanitarian communities and centers. And the definition of Varnashram. Varnashram refers to the natural, social and spiritual divisions in human society, which make up for healthy, balanced and prosperous community. The word Varnashram finds its origin in ancient scripts depicted in India called Veda.
That's on the website, right?
Yes.
I see this whole these different statements. Mission statement, primary goals and objectives, and then supporting objectives. They're meant to be like some very general guiding, well, not only general, but also specific. It goes into some specifics for something which needs to be developed. Because Varnashram is actually meant to be introduced everywhere. So depending on where we find people who show some interest, it can begin in some places, you know, on a very local, village level. I mean, it's meant to be adapted to all the levels, from the lowest level to the highest, let's say, national or even continental. Even after we have global, because the whole, you know, the name has been given for a purpose, global, social, economic, like that. Because what's very important is that there be, you know, we need to kind of, what is it? find and then bring people who are especially devotees initially. You know, we have to kind of gather devotees. It's a very important part of the work also. Somehow or other we have to find means and ways to get out a little bit of information, maybe in pamphlet form or small booklet form, to get across the basic ideology. I see there's already devotees in different countries and within India also who are having some understanding and also want to do something, and maybe who are doing also different things. Networking with them. My understanding is that it's like anything else. In order to accomplish something, it has to be done in a systematic way, in some kind of orderly way. And Prabhupada, in his chart, you know, memorandum of association, that was the first point, to systematically and methodically introduce, you know, and train people into the concept of Krishna consciousness. So, and actually not everybody is able to do that, but some core kind of group of people at some level, that's why I mentioned about like steering committees. Actually, that's a whole big discussion in itself, and we have to avoid getting bogged down in what government people generally get caught up in, what do you call it?
Terminology.
Yeah, not only terminology, but like a lot of, yeah, rhetoric and just organizational things. We're probably not, I mean, at this point, Glovesco, the whole Glovesco thing was conceived with the idea that in due course of time, as some people become more acquainted with the whole concept of Arnashram, its need, its urgent need, that people come together and try to work things out in such a way that it can accomplish something by bringing in people and by having some ongoing communication and having small groups of people here and there, even at the level of just communication. Of course, somewhere down the line it will have to come to the applied level in having, you know, inspiring individuals to actually, you know, a little bit like we're trying to do in Chirala, for example, you know, with Hare Kirtan Prabhu. He's understanding, you know, the basic ideology and whatnot, and trying to get some land, trying to get, you know, interesting people, etc. like that. So we need to accommodate and also encourage people at different levels who can contribute in different ways. Some people will be able to do hands-on, so to speak. Others will be more into planning. Others more into like writing, for example, or doing research. You know, all of these things combined. But there has to be some kind of like direction. And Glovesco right now, I mean, we had registered. We still have glovesco.org. Was registered in the year 2002. Then we changed over to varnashram.org. But our webmaster for glovesco.org, yeah, his name is Ranganath. He's based in Australia. He's from India. He's a scientist, actually. One of the cities in Australia. So I requested him to keep the website with the idea that once we're ready to kind of activate it. Activate means once we have people, whether it's on within one continent or in other continents, who are communicating and doing different things to the extent that something of interest and worthwhile can be put in on the website. So he's already made the website, but it's been like deactivated, but we still have we maintain the domain. So, I mean, this is important to know. We have only just 2 years ago registered Glovesco here in India. It's the only place where it's registered. And I should point out that actually Glovesco is still a new terminology. And even new ideologies within our ISKCON society, and even possibly controversial, in the sense that very maybe little activity has been carried out in the whole area of Varnashram And for your information, just a few days ago when I was in Hebri at our project there, two devotees actually, I had corresponded with them, came to discuss about like the whole concept of Lovesco and in particular that particular project. So I was actually supposed to go to Surat because they're having some meetings, what they call RGB, Regional Governing Body, meetings, and they are like the main leaders here in India. Bhakti Rupa is a Prabhupada disciple, and since many, many years, yeah, it's good to know, just briefly, I was working very closely with the ZBC, and even presently is one of the ISKCON Bureau members. India is probably the most, I mean, the country, amongst all of the countries where we have the ISKCON activity, India is like the more sophisticated in terms of organizational setup, more experienced also in having the largest number of very senior, experienced men, leaders. And so they have like ICC, then they have divisional councils, and then on top of that they have this regional governing body, then they have the ISKCON Bureau. So, you know, initially it can be a little bit mind-boggling, you know, there's a lot of things happening on different levels. So, Lovesco is kind of like a new kid on the block. Who's this guy? What's he doing, you know, what's he going to do, what's it like that. My discussions with Bhakti Rupa, and then the other devotee was, he's actually the regional secretary for Karnataka. Maybe some of you know him, Shankadari. Anyways, we had a very good meeting. It was short, but because Shankadari had to leave for Mysore. It was just before Janmashtami. Dr. Rupa Prabhu stayed overnight, and he was quite happy with his visit. And anyways, I'm writing a brief a letter actually to the RGB committee, trying to introduce. I've been in contact a little bit with some of our RGB members and whatnot, but it may take a little bit of time before it's kind of like, you know, like if you read the first chapter, right, it speaks about four movements. The fourth movement is still kind of like not moving and unknown. Not understood. So that's why I foresee, maybe the word predict is a little too strong, but I foresee that this whole Varnashrama thing will have to become somewhat a little bit like BI, Bhaktivedanta Institute. Bhaktivedanta Institute is a specialized kind of area, you know, for scientific preaching that Srila Prabhupada himself established as, you know, Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, simultaneously, you know, ISKCON and separate from ISKCON, you know what I mean? BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, is also similar. You know, Prabhupada actually felt that in case somehow ISKCON, you know, society meets into any kind of difficulties, at least my books are going to be secure and they're going to be printed and distributed. Because that, you know, if you look at temples, compared, for example, to books and preaching, I mean, books and preaching is priority. It takes priority. I mean, not to minimize the importance of temples, deities like that, but, and anyways, we find that, you know, in the different, these four movements identified, I mean, by Srila Prabhupada himself, you know, the Sankirtan movement means the books, and, you know, the Sankirtan means BBT in many ways, you know. And then something like BI fits more into, you know, being scientific preaching, I mean, bringing in people or cultivating people, getting people spiritualized and whatnot. So anyways, because the presentation is here on Lovesco, I think it's important that those who are involved in Varnashram at this particular level know a little bit of the background, basically, you know. And we can discuss it about this, I mean, at any time. It will need to be discussed more. And I am planning to actually go, if I was not, you know, if I was not having to go to Canada this time, I would have gone to Surat, where I pulled out, because it was like a little hectic maybe to travel to all these places, and also because Bhattarupa and Shankadari came. Had they not come, then I would have felt more obliged. And anyways, I discussed with Bhattarupa if it was absolutely necessary that I, you know, go to Surat. So I think it's important to know some of these basic things regarding Glovescu, because it's like even here in Secunderabad, for example, some of our devotees are unclear about it and maybe kind of like maybe confused about it a little bit. Yeah, that's, if you have any questions on this or want more clarification, I'll be happy to address it. I think until some of these things are a little more, let's say, clarified, I would say that the efforts that we are trying to do in terms of this research team, research committee, let it be connected possibly a little bit more with the research that I'm doing, which is in connection with Varnashram. In other words, I think there's, I mean, in addition to ourselves not being ready to promote Glovescu, you know, organizationally, there's also no necessity immediately, although there's an urgent need to do it. You know, there's no necessity immediately, but there's an urgent need to do it. Yeah. I think we'll be able to move on that front maybe once we, like, I'm in contact with different devotees in a few other countries who would like to see something like this, you know, develop, and so it's just a matter of time. Some of our devotees from this committee also, of course, being relatively new devotees within the society, you know, you're not, naturally, you're not in contact or not knowing about different, especially senior people who may be in different countries or different continents and involved in aspects of the Varnashram. But still, that will be an important element to bring in, establish contact. Did you have any other aspect of your presentation?
Just plan what we need.
Yes.
The Varnashram research team probably may have to collaborate with farm communities, maybe Varnashram farm temples and congregations, and Varnashram college. Collaboration with external agencies like maybe Coalition Network or so on, and maybe sort of Varnashram meeting. This is just a proposal or some kind of base plan. This team may have to collaborate with
Before we go, for example, for temples and congregations, then naturally, you know, having explained a little bit like the background, naturally we'll need to have some aspects or some points clarified. See, on the one hand, I'll just finish on this point. On the one hand, we we don't want to go about doing things without taking into consideration, where things are in terms of our development within Vietnam society in regards to Bernardson. At the same time, we don't want to just sit back and do nothing. So we don't, you know, we always have to be careful about going to extreme. We don't want to be idle. At the same time, we have to be a little, we don't want to be passive. But maybe we don't want to be, we want to be active, but maybe not proactive, not too proactive.
Conservative.
Yeah, for the time being. Plus we don't have, you know, like it's like when you're going to war, you've got to have a good ammunition, you know, to meet the enemy. So we're in the beginning stage of, you know, building up our ammunition, so to speak, in terms of data, information, people, resources, etc. like that. Yeah?
Thank you.
We are taken based on the guidelines which you have given. Only core researchers team and core writers and other allies. Core researchers would be library, Bhakti Vedanta Library, and just like one or some lab. Library would be virtual library and physical library. Virtual library is like web bank and digital library. Digital library is video, audio, documents. Physical library is periodical and
do we have any, excuse me, do we have any location in mind?
For physical library?
Yeah. Or for meetings or for... I mean, Rajaram Prabhu, for example, this office that he was... I mean, that I was speaking with him today a little bit. So I was mentioning that because this idea came some time back about having some kind of place where, yeah, Glavisco office and, you know, books and then Varnashram related, you know, things. I was mentioning to him that maybe for the time being it doesn't need to be a place where devotees are staying full time. It can be just a place where information can be kept, meetings can be held. Not that they have to be held there all the time, but it's like, you know, like a meeting place, or like, and especially once we do start subscribing to magazines and getting books, etc. Need a place, and it's a little bit like BI, for example. BI has many offices in different places, and so I foresee that, you know, later on we'll need, as things develop, certain bases somewhere. So we definitely would need one here, I would say, you know, relatively shortly. So maybe it's a matter of just speaking with Rajaram Prabhu, and because like the place they have now, I think he has that like without any problem from Bhasan Dharma. So anyways, he's willing to help in that respect and just provide some place, whatever. Initially I think we don't need such a big place, but you know, if we start accumulating books and if we start coordinating with other people to make then we'll move on. Accordingly we can adjust. Maybe you could follow up on that with Rajaram Prabhu.
Then, Varnashram Lab, just thought, could be agriculture wing, crop production wing, arts wing, home science, maybe martial arts. Each can have its own huge area of work. Just like art wing, we have fine art, music, dance, drama.
Yes.
So research in these labs, in these worlds. Mm. So corporate students have children. And we have four writers, as we have guided. One is compilers, editors, proofreaders, as well as translators. editors who have language which can get started. Agile services would be layout designers, publishers, distributors, website updation. Means whatever we have done, probably give it to somebody who is already updating the website. So we have something to pull up. Maybe communication, to communicate subscriptions, many other companies. Maybe it's sort of this.
Are we thinking in terms of website of the present Barn Ashram website that we have, like maybe just one section, or in other words, the website as it is largely like public domain and for general public, but maybe we have to speak with Advaita Chandrapabhu and maybe there could be one portion of that could be for use, for putting up material or things that would be like more internal, unless you have something else in mind.
I heard Maharaj providing space for the fellowship. What we have, it will be more complicated.
Okay.
So we can't shape things better way.
Uh-huh.
It will be like more almost have the shape of the domain.
Okay.
And for the state condition is lower.
Okay.
So and what I got into is that I thought of contacting a person to be involved in. Once we are talking about sharing lectures and devotees.
Right.
And the main lecture is on one ashram and what we are doing. Someone suggested that actually I'll contact one sharing lecture. We have to file a space provider. And also all lectures will be compressed.
All the
compression lectures. Okay.
Okay.
The recording will be compressed.
Right.
Then using videos and everything. But if we have a space, I said once I mentioned, we got the space in the channel.
Yes.
So 40 GB.
Right.
So we can just upload things from the download. So we don't have any problem. But I thought that it will be difficult for maintaining all those things in our webpage.
Okay.
Maybe we can provide links to this site. Once they want, they will click on that, it will go to the other site and all that. Maybe that maybe it can
I think we have to adjust as we go along, as we develop, then the needs will become more clear. I mean, the other side, the UNESCO side, is like available in the sense that if we wanted to, because I can start sensing a little bit that in the present varnashram.org site, it may become a little like some traffic jam, you know. Congested, yeah. Whereas like UNESCO is like open, free, and what it would need, I think we cannot get away from. We have to purchase some space. Right. Yeah.
You're also paying for this.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit more, we can go further.
But if we can work things out with what you have now, then you know, we can just do that, and then as we if the need changes, then we'll look at options.
Maybe as I said, I think from varnashram.org to this page.
Yeah, yeah.
And a login page will open saying the
members login.
Correct.
Members login, they want some specific lecture.
Yes.
So that link goes to this site, which you can download the lecture.
We have already physically, we make that available.
Yeah, it is available to the devotee family.
Yeah.
So for that, Maharaj is requiring such amount of devotee as what is the present data
available. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Material that they are holding on.
Right.
So that we can fill it with one
kind of
data.
Well, yeah, that's where, you know, interacting or networking with different devotees comes in. It's very important. With the ones we know, and then we need to find out others who maybe whom we don't know right now. And then, yeah, I had suggested some time back actually that I forget, that was before we created like this team. That was exclusively in connection with my research, like in Cambodia. A few devotees, including Bhagirath is coming on the 6th. Yeah, right. So, because he's been doing some interviews on Varnashram with, you know, people like Bhakti Vijay Punamaraj and Atmatattva, people, you know, connected with all of this. So he's one person like that. So the idea is these different individuals, as we identify them, then we request them, as you mentioned. You make a list of what you have or what you know, etc., like that, and then we work out some means by sharing that. Yeah. So it's important to. It's going to be difficult to have many physical libraries right now, but I think it's obvious that we should have one here. You know, yeah. Right. Yeah, actually, like, if we have an office, we could even, you know, theoretically have someone who could be manning the office. You know, down the line, we'll have some people who may be inquiring, especially once things become a little more active on the website. and that could also be in connection with books that we will be printing and whatnot, because already there's been different requests from devotees on a few continents, including like Australia. I was supposed to send so many books there to Ranganath Prabhu, and so, you know, if you don't have your thing together, you can't respond like that. And then, you know, they have posters and updated information that's kind of like relevant to what we're doing and how demoniac things are becoming more and more, or you know, some good things that may be happening also, some people getting some good realizations, and in this way it can be I mean, you know, Prabhupada mentions, right, manpower, capital, land, and organization means that you gotta have some space somewhere and a telephone. Yeah, couple of chairs. We're setting up something in Cambodia right now for my research, for example, because for the next couple of years. And I mean, that's another whole area which maybe later on I'll send something to the research team. But there's a few things, especially for people here in India, that will be important to kind of research, maybe not necessarily from here itself, but there's so many, as we're seeing a little bit, you know, there's so many aspects, it's like, so unless we have some kind of basic structure or basic organization, I mean, we're just gonna not gonna get anywhere. So I think it's good that, you know, you make these different plans and. There's going to be, I suppose, ongoing at maybe once a month, or depending on the need, also, right? Like you're doing right now, getting together the members, and yeah, it's good to make a resume of discussion and send that out. And so, I don't know if we were supposed to identify in yesterday and today's meeting any specific, you know, that it's like we've come through the introduction right now, and it's kind of like, okay, now what, you know. But I don't mind when I come back from Chirela. I'll be here for another 2 or 3 days, either individually or if you all feel that we should meet to maybe just pan out, okay, some specific, you know, like immediate, you know, short term and long term, you know, if I identify some of these things, then it may give more like clear direction as to, okay, that's very nice, you know, all of this, now how do we proceed, you know, how do we do it? I mean, some idea is already there, but it would be good to have it more clarified, I think. We probably need to wind up this meeting soon, I suppose. It's been, yeah. Anyway, some of these points were already there, but in addition to people who will be writers and then researchers, I think it's good if we also prepare material that could be presented to either devotees or even the public, you know, PowerPoint presentations, because somewhere down the line, that's part of what you were presenting, we need to have at least one or two persons who are together enough to make, you know, an intelligent presentation initially to our own devotee community, and then possibly to others who may be like more receptive like that, and so that will requires a certain kind of expertise, I would say, you know, somebody who's familiar with like that. We need to develop workshops, you know, later on down the line once we are more clear as to what we want to do and how we're going to proceed. So should we think about, you know, maybe we can all individually give some thought as to, you know, what can be our like immediate, like one of the action plan, you know, like immediate, you know, short term, long term. Like one of them can be set up an office, a simple office, place, location, you know, and then like that. As I mentioned, I mean, before I leave on the 13th, I'm leaving probably, what time in the morning sometime, right? Yeah. So 13th is out, let's say up until the 12th. I'm coming back on the 10th morning, right? So 10, 11, 12. Yeah, 10, 11, 12. I'll be here 3 days, and I mean, I'll be happy to meet if it's convenient and if you so desire. I don't want to have too many meetings.
Well, maybe some guidelines that we can again discuss, come up with some proposals.
Yeah, I think it's important.
What is
office?
What can
conservative advertising. How do you do that?
maybe like one is on the office, second is probably authors experimenting on the co-product thing.
Actually, it's because you mentioned this, because you know, I brought two boxes from New Gokuldam.
The devotee, Gokuldam devotee.
Yeah.
You're mentioning, we're talking to them morning.
Yeah.
Said we got co-product, and we thought, why can't you tell us today?
Yeah, I know, I told him, you know, why are you bringing this morning, you know? When I was down in South, I told him, you know, I would like to have this, especially when you were planning about, you know.
Yesterday
and then, you know, he comes along, you know, casually, here's the two boxes. I didn't even know they were here, right, you know? If I would have known yesterday, I would have immediately, yeah.
We sold a lot of urine bottles, cow urine.
Is it,
I think around 30 cow urine bottles.
Where did you get them from?
It was in Nagpur.
Nagpur. Oh, okay.
You know,
they have cows in Secunderabad and Hyderabad. I mean, why you get your cow urine all the way from us? Later on.
Maharaj, I got some questions. Sir was mentioning that there is one Goshala nearby.
Yes.
In Gandhinagar.
Mm.
Some years back, we went there. Visited.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Photos were there. Photos.
Yeah, yeah.
We just went there to see.
Oh, okay.
We discussed about it. They showed the photos.
Oh, okay. Maharaj.
Then we asked you. No, we cannot.
I have copies of those. Photos.
Right.
Yeah. That was real nice. Actually, we happened to visit on a Amavasya, special days of the month where many people were visiting on that day, like very auspicious. I had never seen before. You know, they had one nice cow, you know, decorated nicely, and this one guy, Indian guy. He must have known about the value of cow anyways. He was circumambulating, going under the cow, over the cow, you know, and, you know, touching the cow, paying obeisances, full dandabat, you know, practically like in Govardhan when they do parikram, you know, on their knees. Because there's immense benefit, actually, just by touching cow, just by being close to cow, and there's probably things in the Shastra that tell you how to do certain rituals in connection with the cow, you know, like we circumambulate Tulasi. So there's a whole thing about, you got to get, you know, I mean, some of this is mentioned in this book here. Yes, from Vrindavan. He's connected with cow care, Kurma Rupa. It's not from him, but it's.
Bhagirath,
you should call him right away because he's going to take a train soon.
Oh, tomorrow.
You can call him now. He'll bring half a dozen copies, whatever. He'll bring as many as he wants because it's small. It's real nice.
One conference which we attended.
Which you are also mentioning. Both of them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we received.
Oh, I have a copy. I have a copy of the Swami. Yeah. Swamiji. I think I have this copy. What is this?
This is also some more descriptive.
Okay. These are just about cow breeds?
Yeah, cow breeds.
Okay, that's connected with this, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, these are the kind of things
this
we should have
collected.
Yeah, these are the kind of things as part of our...
One more person called Rajiv Dixit, very, very vocal about cow protection.
You know, I saw this picture for the first time.
Pushing
calf
and then drinking.
I'll send it to all of you. I have it, you know. And, I've never seen, you know, Krishna is taking the milk and pushing the cow. And the cow is licking Krishna. As if he was a calf, you know. I had never seen before. It's the first home program we did in New Hibri. There are our son there, yeah. Yeah, real nice. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, these are the kind of things that, you know.
Lot of motivation about cooperation.
Yeah.
Say Gandhi and actually.
Okay. Yeah.
even like all things, why from basic, then he mentioned them with what we should do.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. There are people doing things, you know, and we have to be a little bit careful though. In terms of too officially linking with them, but in terms of communicating, we should be doing that. Because very often there's some political overtones or whatever, you know. Like RSS is very nice in many ways, but also, you know, it's like militant oriented, so they have to be careful.
Some guidelines so that we can discuss and then come up with some action plan.
Yes.
Yeah. Broadly, you can mention Maharaj. You want to come up with individual action plans and discuss probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. One is the books.
Yeah, one is the books. One is office place, like that. Continuing to collect data, either in, you know, digital form, video form, book form. We have to think about means of financial support. Maybe we also have to think about NGO. It may be, although Glovesco is registered as a non-profit, it's not registered as an NGO, Glovesco in India. Basically, our ashram is registered under Glovesco. It's kind of like misleading. Glovesco is actually meant to be an organization which is promoting, supporting such kind of development, like in Hibri. But Hibri and Glovesco is like different in the sense that Glovesco as an entity is meant to develop, as we have seen earlier, into like a global kind of networking and even, you know, with like these steering committees. Now, this is just like some proposal from my side, and it will depend on people how they want to, because we want to avoid especially over centralization, and because it goes against the principle of, you know, excuse me one second. Air Intel. You know, how to dump these guys. The last couple of days they call in. I don't know. So, the guidelines that are here for Glovesco have been kind of like incorporated in the Memorandum of Association or the Trust Deed. I can try to pull out or send you a copy of the Trust Deed, because it's like the official Glovesco that is registered, taking its basic information and like that from what we read, which is on the website. Glovesco as it exists right now, even those who are trustees don't really understand what it's all about. You know? Yeah. You know. Because it's like, you know, the trustees for Glovesco, it's not meant to be like just centered on one small little project, obviously. You know. But actually, the gist of the basic guidelines are meant to be used, can be used as a pro forma for registering and performing activities. And that's what I recommend to like Hari Kirtan Prabhu. I mean, it's up to them. It's up to the people locally who are interested in supporting and developing that project, how they want to do it. One of the ways is to make a trust and to use the basic guidelines of Glovesco. And even to use the word Glovesco, you know, Chirala, for example. But it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. So that's one level. That's the level of actually establishing or developing a project, land project, land area. But Lovesco, as a as an organization, is like a little bit different, and so I think it's important just to understand this point right now, and later on it means that we will have to look. I'm not even a trustee on Lovesco because it's registered here in India. The trustees who are presently there, I will need to explain to them in due course of time that actually Lovesco is like this, as opposed to whatever they think it is right now. You know what I mean? And then that may, in other words, Lovesco may undergo organizationally, or in terms of like those who are wanting to use that vehicle to facilitate and promote the ideas of, let's say, Vanashram in other continents. It may, it will have to change. Right now it's kind of like localized, you know, it's like localized in Karnataka, but it's not meant to be like that. Of course, that project, Hibri, is also meant to have a very unique position in terms of being a base, or maybe even like headquarters for Lovesco. In many ways, it's ideal, and purposely it was like that, you know, that it'd be in India, because India is Vanashrams from India, right? I mean, the whole Vedic culture, etc. And that happens to be in a place which is having a lot of the components for developing Vanashram. So, I mean, in other words, Lovesco can have a physical location and have its headquarters there, but the committee members, who are not, some of them are locally there, but they could be anywhere, actually. They could be even on other continents in due course of time, and they will gradually try to develop this kind of vision. Vision means not to control, but to promote and to kind of see themselves as facilitators, you know, to encourage people, get people like that. Yes. Yeah, that's also important. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, for example, I mean, Prananath Prabhu, Pavitra, developing very nicely. I met one devotee in Bombay who had taken some, because he was, not Bombay, Bangalore. He was teaching in Bangalore before Prananath Prabhu, after graduating and whatnot. So anyway, he had some students, and he was remembering how, you know, so I was telling him how it's the whole Yoga Institute, for example, is coming up, and we're making, through that, actually, a lot of good contacts with local people, and they're really appreciating that, you know, they can't figure out how is it that, you know, you got people who are like graduates and they're back into farming, you know. The guy's got a master's degree, what's he doing, you know. So, I mean, we have a doctor there who, we have one devotee, Bhakta Vatsal. He has his own NGO. As a matter of fact, it's a good angle, you should know. He has an NGO that's called, very close to the same name as Balabhadra Prabhu, who has his NGO. Yeah. It's Kaupa, right? So he has one for India. He calls it Indian Cow Protection something. And he's submitted some proposals, actually, and he's hoping and expecting to, he's from Rajasthan, he wants to do something there, but now he's brought his family down there for the next couple of years to help, you know, he understands the whole thing we're trying to do, and to help build up a model there. He's milking the cows every day, you know. He's a family man, he's got three kids, right? His eldest son is like 17, and his youngest son, about 12 or 13, he's going to be living full-time at the ashram, and I just started Gurukul. I'm saying we have people who have, you know, educated people who have different contacts and who have different, you know, good understanding. And so definitely need a base like that where people, you know, we mentioned about training. So that will be one place, not the only place, but that can be one place. and Bonatarash Prabhu, he's from Mangalore. He's also has his master's actually in yoga therapy. He's studying right now, like Vastu, astrology, things like that, which will be important. He's going to head up our Gurukul, because we want to establish like a traditional Gurukul. Because education, which is a topic we haven't discussed about very much, is like an essential component to all of this. It's really, really important. So that's why also before I leave, I'll send you the, if I haven't already, the second book, which we need to actually be printing, Varnashram Education. The basic concepts and principles are very important for all of us to understand. And anyways, so you can all decide if we need to meet or not again, but these are a few things, and then amongst yourselves you can, you know, I mean, we'll be in contact. I'll be coming back also after 1 month, but like middle of October, so I'll just be staying a few days, maybe 1 week, before going back to Cambodia. So anyways, I think we probably need to bring this meeting to an end, we can, I think, get a little glimpse, little idea of like many things that that are involved, and which is making it interesting in the sense that there's a lot of room for a lot of things to take up, and even a lot of people to be engaged, you know, as we deepen our understanding and become active in various areas, various fields like that. So whatever is happening, like right now, whoever is doing like some writing or some research like that, maybe it's good as soon as possible to identify who will be like some of our main writers, some of our main researchers, and which areas, you know, you've given some basic guidelines, maybe we need to fill in and put some names, a few names there, and pull in a few more people. Maybe follow up on some of the names I've given, but for different reasons, maybe. Like sometimes somebody like a personal letter or something, and what do you think about this, and, you know, just to pull him in. And Bagheera definitely, although, I mean, he's a very simple boy, and he hasn't gone to university or anything like that, but he's doing his what is called Bhagavad Shastri, 2 years completed already, and you know, still quite young, 20, 21 or something, but like picking up, and you know, and he's going to be the kind of person that we want to train in the future more, because as we establish Gurukuls, without Gurukuls, forget about establishing Varnashram, you know. And it's so difficult now to convince or to bring in people to go and take these kind of courses, because everybody wants their degree and their education in the formal, modern, you know, system. So it's kind of like rare, but we should keep our eyes open to encouraging and finding people who can take such courses. Like, it's like a free course, you know? Anybody here with us? For 3 years, you can study free of charge. There's, you know, your food, your lodging, and your whole education. It's a Vedic system. Vedic system. It's so nice when you think about it, you know. I mean, I'd like to go back. I was telling somebody, I want to be the first student in our Gurukul in Hibri. Because, yeah. Anyway, unless from you, whether there's anything else from your side?
Something yesterday, I saw in the Varnashram called, Kazakul has come on from...
He showed it to me. He showed me. He came to see me yesterday. I was, the expression is, pleasantly surprised. I was, he showed it to you?
Yeah, it was there, so I saw, and he also asked me to see that book.
Okay.
He said he has done a lot of research on this area.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, he never told me.
I asked also.
Right.
Whether Maharaj knows, because we are applying for a research team, but here you already done a lot.
Right. Yeah.
So you'll be very fortunate to know. know how we can support you, or at least know what is happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I we only spoke very briefly, and he really it was a surprise, you know, a real surprise that, you know, comes out of the whole book, you know, I mean, all kinds of references and definitely has put a lot of time, a lot of work and a lot of effort in that, you know. And he has some very good realizations. And when he was talking with me and showing me like this, I was thinking, hey, you know, you know, it's like, you know,
he's doing what he was planning.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and actually, he said there are around 20 books he has lined up, which is going to come soon. 20 books he has lined up. He's done lot of research, and he's got GBs of materials.
Is it, huh?
I said then.
Tell me more.
I will ask a question whether Rumana knows whether that leads to confusion of, say, make Rudan religious or something like that. Then he has to preach that thing.
Yes, yes, right.
So he said,
right.
And I was like, he opened an eye.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's like finding a gold mine. Hey, there's gold there.
Yeah, here only.
Yeah, right.
No need to go.
Yeah, right. Right. I will encourage him. Definitely, I will encourage him, because I think, you know, this whole thing is quite new. You know, the whole research team effort. I mean, we were doing it by correspondence, you know, to a large extent in the last couple of months. And it's like, you know, the first time we're meeting together like this. It's like, I didn't really get a chance to mention to him. So he's probably not really aware of the kind of, you know, like, I mean, if you show him what you have.
I told him I would show.
Okay.
And I also briefed him what we are planning.
Okay, yeah. No,
like
He
said he himself designed the whole thing. He himself did the layout design, proofreading, everything he has done alone.
Yeah.
I
Yeah, yeah, right. Come on. Yeah, right. It's like, you know, you plan a whole thing, put so much energy, bring in so many people, and then I've done this already. So, yeah, I definitely would encourage you. I did mention your name, and I mentioned, but just very briefly, because I was still probably still in shock, I think, you know, to kind of like, but he didn't mention about, you know, that he has so much material. But obviously, to have compiled this means he has a lot of, but I did mention briefly, you know, that word, and then I mentioned your name and this and that, and that's why I was a little confused and whatnot when, you know, about the bookstall, not the Varnashram stall, you know. Because then in one email, he wrote back to me, says, no, Neela Madhava, he says, that Sahadev Prabhu will oversee that Varnashram stall. And then because he hadn't talked to me about this whole thing, so I was, let's see what happens. But I think it's good if you can show him what you have, and he will definitely identify with that, and probably some of this material he's already researched and whatnot. And then let's see. Yeah, like he even proposed or suggested to me, was asking whether it was all right. I said, of course it's all right to make some presentations, because he goes to different meetings, you know, within our ISKCON society. And that's what I was mentioning a little earlier, that we do need to prepare material to present in you know, as workshops, as seminars. We should have. I would say, like, as soon as we set up, I would say, you know, one of the short-term objectives would be to set up our office within the next 6 months and to plan for a seminar, a one-day or a weekend seminar, giving, like, an introduction to the whole thing. You know, and bringing in maybe can be just locals to kind of experiment, and then after that you go like more regional, you know, and it can just be here, and then later on, okay, then we have people going out other places. if we have an office set up and if we have people maybe visit the office, because we'll have by that time some bulletins up or some this or that. And I think what would be very good also is to come out with a bulletin, speaking about bulletins, you know. Like we have a small bulletin for our activities at, you know, Narad Bulletin. So that's been on my mind for a long time, you know, like Varnashram Bulletin. I think it can be just a two-page thing. You know, it can be very small initially, and then gradually as we get data, as we get manpower, etc. like that, you know, our office, we should have like some basic, you know, like computer basic facilities. And I mentioned about NGO thing because that might be one way to maybe getting some resources or qualifying to get resources and things like that. Or we have to find some persons who are maybe receptive and willing to support in different ways like that, you know, or whatever, try to find some means, because capital is one of the things. Oh, I see. Yeah, just a few minutes, huh? So these are a few things, I'm sure we can all think about more things, and it's kind of like, if you want, we could meet again, maybe to make it more specific or add things and whatnot like that. Like office, for example, I mean, we can start thinking about, well, you know, who would be a good person. Like sometimes, you know, maybe somebody who's retired, you know, one of our devotees is retired, or somebody who's like really taking some interest and who can spend like 2 hours a day to be there. Or we could have like two people, somebody in the morning for 2 hours and somebody in the afternoon, whatever, you know, some kind of and in this way there can be a presence and there can be, you know, resources and there can be some output, means that we can give some basic information, give some reference to people, keep these books, and then we'll have more books that we want to sell as we come up with, like that. These pamphlets I sent, for example, that's something we can produce and have available, and like that, you know. And it would be very important for us somewhere down the line, because we are still in the conservative mode right now. So we'll want to send pamphlets to all the temples like here in India to, you know, introduce the concept of, you know, pamphlets are for that purpose, especially to give the gist like that. And then provide, if we're together organized, then it'll be kind of a natural development. We can provide information to temples outside of India, etc., etc. So we just start on the small scale and then just gradually build up. Seed bank. Yes, very important. Well, like for example, Pranamat Prabhu, like one place, the ideal place to have a seed bank would be there. Hybrid, you know, and we, but that's not the only place where we should have one here, even though we're in the city, or maybe we find somebody who has some land or whatever, we basically, you know, it needs to be discussed. One devotee especially needs to maybe coordinate, and it's like, you know, we have our different areas, and whoever, you know, whatever enthusiasm and know-how that we have, we put into that and just develop. So like, that's a very, very, I would say, critical area, definitely. Seed bank. Yes. Well, we're looking for seeds. You know, just to get seeds, non-hybrid seeds, is a big problem. It's a big, big problem. So, of course, storage also, but storing, you know. Yes, also, yeah, because, you know, if you store them for 5 years, then you finish it. So you have to, yeah. Yeah, then you have to plant and whatever, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's a whole, like, it's a whole portfolio in itself, definitely. You want to take it up?
technology.
Okay.
We must be having some our very technology available to store.
Yes.
So
that's actually a very important point that needs to be, you know, brought up and maybe put up as one area that if somebody has some information or some interest or some knowledge and whatnot, we would like to take that up. And like you're just mentioning now, there's many facets, many aspects that need to be thought about. This one devotee, I think I might have mentioned, I forget his name now. He sent a whole list of books and whatnot. What's his name? Sashi
Kumar?
Yeah. So he was asking me about seeds, and I said, I'm also looking for seeds. So he's one person, very serious about seeds. And Vidoy Chaitanya, who's coming back after 1 month, he's got some very important information about that also. It's like a real critical situation. So that's
in particular, it could be anything, but we have to get narrow down on our understanding.
Yeah.
And then certain jobs are literally speed.
Yes.
Yeah.
This, in the book, Alarm, what is it?
Alarm Call.
Alarm Call, yeah. That is one of the four main defects of modern, hybrid seeds. A whole monopoly on that. It's like, it's the money, totally the money. Okay, I think, yeah. Thank you very much. And let's carry on. And
you know that what cow correct or whatever, because otherwise you know that I was at least I do not know that many cow correct or whatever. These are used at home.
Cow products?
Yes, cow products.
Okay. Oh, okay, that's nice.
Toothpaste.
Yes. So actually, one of these boxes is for this committee. Now you decide what you want to do with it. I think most of these products can be kept for a long time, and probably this is like ideal to put in our office, and then in course of time we may want to, if we find somebody to produce some of them for our own devotees or our own personal use. I mean, for each of these products there's a particular way of doing it. So that technology is there, of course, especially actually in it's not in New Gokul Dham, they provide actually the urine, but it's actually in Belgaum that they're having the machinery and whatnot. Of course, they're doing now in Vrindavan and Nagpur, right? Yeah. So we should be doing it in different places or something.
Actually, I met a geologist now. He was saying that the city cows can't use their urine too because they are having all the polluted water.
They
are having some blue fever or something for kids if they drink that cow milk, city milk. So, very dangerous to mention it.
I think we have to look into this a little bit more because the cow, I believe, has an inbuilt ability, to purify a lot of these things. To what extent these dangers are there, I think we need to look. I'm not denying that there may be, because of the heavy pollution and whatnot, but it would need to be investigated. But definitely, it's better for the cow also to be drinking pure water like that we can only get in the country and whatnot. So who can I give this to? Basically, I had two sets. One set I wanted to give to one devotee, and the other set was actually for the stall. Anyways, it can be used next year, maybe a few more products. But for the time being, you can decide what you want to do with it. You can take it. All right? Okay. And then later on, yeah, you can be in the office. And the office, you get some nice posters of different cow breeds. So, you know, we have some like in heavy, real nice.
And just maybe we can set a box just to start before we move in the actual office. Or should we start here?
Well, that place that that Rajaram Prabhu has is actually meant for that purpose.
But Gambhir will mention Maharaj, the devotees are staying.
Yeah, but the devotees are not going to be staying there for long. They're just temporarily staying there.
That place?
That place is actually Glovesco place. Meant to be Glovesco place. Meant to be office. They're staying in your office.
But temporary, how long?
Oh, well, one was, I just cancelled his train. One was leaving tonight, actually. Kinkini Prabhu. And then, what's his name? Giriraj Prabhu was, I have to speak to them, actually, was planning or desiring to maybe go back to Hebrides. And so they're just there for a few days.
I
just
left.
Is it,
I just left for them.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, right.
I feel I went there sometimes.
Yes.
I'm not comfortable.
Oh, no. They're country folks.
Usually they're very...
Yeah. So we're working on that, and I didn't see the place, but Rajaram Prabhu did want to take me there, and he was telling that actually that place is fairly spacious, is it?
It's not a good space. Good space.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. And he was telling that actually if you don't need all that space, then I can arrange something else. Rajaram Prabhu was telling. So it might be good, you know, you can, one of you, or I don't know, which one of you, who may be the best person to speak with him? You?
Yeah.
Yourself, huh? Okay. So you can just tell him that we just happened to talk about his place. And that, you know, I would say that if the committee here, you know, if this team feels that this is suitable, I think it will not be a problem to keep that. And as I mentioned, within a couple of days or within a very short time, the devotees were there. It's not meant to be. You know, at most, maybe one devotee could stay there just for the sake of having one, but it's not meant to be an ashram. It's not meant to be a drop-in center or whatever, you know. But it's meant to be actually... it was meant to be the Glovesco, official Glovesco Varnarsan thing, and we're meant to keep our books there and like that. Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned to him that we discussed and how we are, you know, feeling a need to immediately begin setting up an office, and that's it, you know. Go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
Thanks, Master.